Welcome to the show, everybody. And his second stint with the club and going from high to even higher heights. Let's get on, Mr. Sam Byram. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks. Yeah, in good spirits, and the whole team are, so yeah.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about when you re-signed for Leeds. Because obviously you came sort of on trial at first and you're helping us out with pre-season and whatnot. Was there a belief that you were always going to sign? Had Daniel kind of said, yeah, don't worry, we'll take care of you? Or were you really kind of in limbo a little bit?
There was definitely no guarantee. So I'd sort of come off the back of not the best injury situation at Norwich. I was obviously a free agent and not heard a right lot, to be fair. There was a few clubs that were interested, a couple of options abroad as well. And I was sort of just waiting to hear what the next step was. So I'd done a lot of sort of fitness and extra training through the summer. So I felt like I was in a really good position fitness wise and that kind of thing. And then, I got a message off the boss and his staff saying, obviously you're a free agent and we know you know the club, we've worked together before, do you want to come and train with us? And at the start it was just a case of come and train with us, and you know, it's good for you, you're in a team environment to keep fit. And then just sort of as it progressed, I feel like I did well in training, and then they said, look, we've got pre-season games, do you want to be involved in them? You know, we'd like to play you in them. Obviously from my point, it's always a risk being out of contract, but for me the chance to impress and to sign again for Leeds massively outweighed any potential risk. Obviously I know it's a huge opportunity to come back here to work with a manager I'd worked with before, so for me it was just pure excitement and, you know, relished the opportunity. It's funny, it got to the point where, so I'd just sold my house in Norwich and we had the completion date set and I needed to shift all my furniture. And because I didn't know what was happening at Leeds, me and my partner just started looking for like houses to rent.
Nowhere to go.
The first 5 or 6 weeks, even when the season started, we was dotting between hotels and Airbnbs. Which she was pregnant at the time as well, still is pregnant. But so it was a stressful start. But we gambled, yeah. And we put our name down for this house, like to rent for 12 months before Leeds had offered me anything. We thought, right, we're just gonna just go for it. And luckily it all paid off. And they offered the contract and we moved.
You know, you've had a good pre-season when you're feeling that confident to go and buy your house or gamble on that. But I didn't know that story, Sam. I respect that massively because I've been through a lot of injuries in my time at Leeds United, mate. We'll chat about that later on because I want to tap into your mental state at the time, because I really struggled with it. So I want to hear your side of your injury past, mate. But you taught there, did you, when you were asked to play and you knew you're out of contract and you could have got injured at any time, did you have any insurance behind you was there anything that you'd signed, or were you just so focused on playing for Leeds you were happy to just do anything possible you could to earn this contract and play games without any insurance?
Yeah, there's no insurance in place. I obviously had that thought in my head because of the previous injuries, but I was so confident and positive from the work I'd done in the summer. You know, I'd worked with a real top physio and sort of fitness coach together, and they'd sort of highlighted where I could improve on certain things. And coming here, I did feel in a really good position, sort of fitness-wise. So for me, it's almost like a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You're training at Leeds under a manager you know, obviously a really good squad for this league, and you've got a chance to sign a contract. For me, it was, I mean, what have you got to lose? Obviously, looking back, if I'd have got injured, then it's a completely different story because I might not be sat here now. But I mean, I'm glad I went with it and trusted it to go well. And
I've got to salute you, and I've got to say on behalf, like, I think about players that run the risk of doing a Bosman when they get in the last 6 months of their contract, and you run the risk of like getting injured in that situation. And the gamble is you're going to earn a huge contract because there's no transfer fee involved, and all the money becomes a player's. But mate, I salute you massive. I didn't know that story, mate, and for you to share that, and for the fans to know that, mate, it's almost like you've never been away from this football club. Your performance has been spot on. Obviously you're so switched on, but that's a huge gamble. and it's paid off, and I'm buzzing for you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, we're all thrilled to have you back, mate. A couple of weeks ago, we had Rob Price on the show, who I'm sure you know very well, and he was taking us through sort of various players' rehab and injuries and all this kind of stuff. And we talked briefly about yourself, but you sort of, when you came into the club, obviously you probably... It is a very unique situation for you. You've had a particularly bad injury in the past. Is there stuff that you have to work on yourself, like outside of the club, or does stuff everything get kind of switched over to Rob and his team, and you put your faith in them?
A bit of both, to be fair. What I will say is the medical department and the staff here have been so accommodating and helpful since I've arrived. There's a sort of a specialist piece of a kit that I used in the summer. This machine that I do a lot of sort of warming up, stretching, mobility and strength on. And since I've come, they've done everything they can to make sure that's provided. There's a bit of a running joke that, you know, certain away games, they bring this machine to, and there's been games where I've been in the corridor using it. And like I said, that they've done everything to make me feel as comfortable as possible. So, I am very grateful for that. And yeah, it's just a case of doing bits that I've done in the past that I know that work.
What is the machine, Sam? What does it do to you? Because I might need it to improve my golf game, lad.
It's just one of them reformer Pilates machines. So the guy I worked with in the summer, he does a lot of his stuff, strength and mobility with that. And so far, touch wood, it's been helping and it's been working. So
Rob was talking about the effort of schlepping all the way down to places like Millwall with all the ice baths. Has someone got to drag your Pilates machine all across the country for all the
yeah,
games?
Yeah, yeah. They remind me of it every day. To be fair to them, they bought a portable one, and it turned up with, so there's like ropes with handles on, and they bought this one that had like fluffy, it's almost like fluffy handcuffs, and it turned up and they're like, what on earth is this? It looked dodgy.
Now, I have got a few of them upstairs, but that's for a different podcast.
I need it, guys.
Oh, absolutely class.
Oh, man. Excellent.
Love that,
excellent.
Man. Love
well,
that.
Well, I appreciate you talking about that, mate.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, we've just talked about you being back at the club, but if you don't mind, I'm interested in it in a morbid kind of way. What was it like when you were first at the club? I mean, ultimately, what I want to chat to you about, Sam, is the contrast between Leeds United today and Leeds United then. But for maybe some of our more recent fan base, what was it like that era, you know, under previous Italian owners that we've had? Was that a pretty chaotic time for you and the club when back then?
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different to how it is now. I think when you're in it, you don't really necessarily realise until you've been elsewhere. But yeah, I think there was a season where I must have had 6 or 7 managers in one season.
Right.
Obviously, the squad how it is now, and that the structure of the club is so much more stable. I think as well, you could sense on a match day now, I'd say 99% of the time the stadium's sold out, and you really feel that excitement and that energy. Whereas comparing that to when I was previously here, I think there was 2 games I played in the cup. So I think it was Spurs and Chelsea at home where the ground was sold out, and you really got a sense of like, this is the real Leeds. But other than that, you know, I'm not blaming fans. I mean, we were in the 3 seasons I was here, we was a below mid-table team and we weren't playing attractive football. So just that contrast as well. And yeah, like you say, the difference in managers, and it's just completely different.
Okay, well, I mean, you've sort of said there about how the fans and the stadium is different from back then. But what's the feeling just in general around the club, like the day to day at Thorpe Arch and stuff? It must be chalk and cheese from those days to now. I mean, the goal is very much back to the Premier League, isn't it?
Yeah, like I say, I think when the last 3 seasons when I was first here, we were below mid-table team, so there wasn't that expectation every week that, you know, that we're going to win or we're going to expectations on promotion. Whereas now, obviously, the club in the past have had 2-3 years in the Premier League, and we know we've got a strong squad for this league. I think you said earlier the Championship is such a difficult league, and obviously the goal is promotion and the expectation is that, but we're not underestimating the task ahead. You see some crazy results in the championship every week, but we just need to keep doing our principles, sticking to what we believe in, and hopefully the results follow, and we're successful at the end.
Sam, I've got a question for you, mate. I want to. There's something that when I was doing the research and having a chat with the lads about. I mean, you've got something in common. You thought about retirement, and in the past, I had kind of almost been forced into retirement through injury. And I'm so thankful I had a very good mentor and a guy called Dave Hancock, who was my physio at the time at Leeds United. He taught me out of doing it. He said, mate, stick with me. 15 years in the game, you've still got left in you. It might not be the highest level, blah, blah, blah. And I did. I stuck by him rather than retirement. And I'm delighted that I did, but I had some horrible thought process to go through. So, I think you considered at one stage, do you have more of an appreciation now for the game than you did before that? And does it annoy you when players take the game for granted? Because it used to really, really churn me when players were going, oh, we got to train again, here we go. And I'm thinking, man, we are living the dream.
Yeah, I think complacency is a thing that's I wouldn't say normal in football, but when you're injured, you realise how much you're missing it. And then once you're back fit for a month, I mean, I feel like players are quick to moan. we'll admit that ourselves. Yeah. Like if you've got a tough training session or something's not going your way. But then when you actually have that thing to think back on and how you felt during those tough times, I think that makes you appreciate every single session, every single match. And like you say, obviously, I know I'm 30 now and average career is what, 35 years of age people retire. So for me, yeah, it's just a case of every single game, every transition, giving everything and not looking back and thinking, God, I wish I'd have done more that game, or I wish I'd have tried a bit harder. So I'd like to think that every game I'm absolutely shattered by the end and I've given everything.
Well, if you want to extend your career like I did, I'll have a chat with you, mate. And I'm not trying to get rid of you from Leeds now. I want you to play for Leeds as long as you can, get back to the Premier League. But I had a massive, because of my injuries, I found it very tough in the winter because I was getting like these arthritis pains in my knees and my ankles. And I made a big decision at the age of 30. I went to Australia and I found out that I didn't need to warm up as much and the temperature give me, I reckon, another 4 or 5 years in the game. And I retired at 36 after thinking I was going to be retired at 21. So what I'm basically saying is, mate, there is an opportunity when you're thinking about it again go and extend that career in America or in a hot country abroad and you'll have another 4 or 5 years in it. Do not give the game up because we miss it so badly. So I'll have a chat with you about that one. I'll mentor you through that, mate.
Yeah, I've not heard that, about the hot weather. So I'm interested to hear about that.
But not just yet. We're going to keep you in cold Leeds for a little bit longer yet, I hope.
I did say that. I'm not trying to get rid of him.
Speaking of mentoring, though, is a question I wanted to ask. Because you say you're 30, and it sounds absurd to say you're a senior player, but, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. You are one of our probably most senior players. You've been through those injuries, you've been through the mental strain that comes with that, you've been through the pressures of Premier League football and long championship campaigns. You've got Archie Gray in the squad, who obviously coming up through the ranks at Leeds as well. Do you feel a degree of mentorship? Do you feel responsibility? Do you kind of want to take him under your wing a little bit and not prepare him, but just to be there with everything that he's going to be going through right now?
Do you know what? I feel like he's very mature for his age. He can be quite childish, which is obviously normal for a 17-year-old. Like, we always have a laugh about him just being an idiot a lot of the time. But right. I feel like he's not fazed at all by playing for Leeds and, one of the biggest clubs in England, obviously a sold-out stadium, and it just doesn't faze him. I think if I could see that maybe that side of it was getting on top of him or he was struggling, definitely I'd be there to put an arm around him and help him out. But I feel like he doesn't need it. He's a great talent and he's still young. But I think we've got a great group, not just the senior players. I feel like even, the people who are sort of mid-20s are all very mature as well. And, he's got a lot of players that are there if he needs someone to lean on. But like I say, he's, for his age, he's dead mature, and I think he's taking everything in his stride at the minute.
I think having a dad that played the
game. I played with his dad.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. When I was last there, his dad was striker. So that makes me feel old that when I came in, playing with his son now.
It makes me feel. I used to play against Andy's dad in the youth team for Sunderland, so that shows you how old I am. But it's just an ongoing conveyor belt of talent with a great family. So yeah. We're talking about. His dad, the good news, obviously, for yourself, you've already mentioned it. I do believe that there is a new family member on the way in due course. Is that correct?
Yeah, got a little daughter coming in March.
Oh, that's the big reveal. That's the big reveal. The wife's going to kill you for saying that it's...
saying to be fair, it's already out.
Congratulations.
It's already out there, so I'm in the clear.
Right.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Did you have a gender reveal? Did you have a big flyover with pink smoke coming out over Ellen Road?
To be fair, we got quite lucky. It was the same. We found out the same weekend that it was my 30th birthday. So all my friends and my partner's friends, we were together for a meal. So we just kind of did a mini reveal for them because she's from London. So a lot of our friends don't get over here that often. So while they were here, we did a small one, yeah. But it was nice. It's good.
No more messing around now and having pranks. It's the dad father figure. He's going to have to straighten our mate.
Time to grow up.
I'm curious. This is a question for both of you, actually. Knowing what you know and what you've been through, because obviously you've got kids as well, Bridgie, would you want your kids to follow in your footsteps and be footballers? Or are you like, oh, God help them, I hope they never get involved in the game I've been involved in? How is it? How do you view football as a whole?
Oh, it's a tricky one. For me, there's so many highs and good moments. But obviously, I feel like, speaking for myself and obviously by the sounds with you as well, Michael, the injuries and the lows that come with it. There's been times where I've just thought this is just not worth it. Obviously players right. who have an injury free career and play 40 games a season, it's just pure joy and I'd say 90% of the time it's positive. On the other hand, there is a dark side to the game, which a lot of people won't understand because they think, oh, you're professional footballer, you're getting paid all this money. It's not something that's spoke about. I think it's every young kid's or a lot of young kids' dreams to be a footballer. So I think, you know, if that was their dream, I'd never try and talk them out of that. I'd just support and encourage and be there along the way. But it definitely doesn't come without its downsides as well, is what I'd say.
Well, I mean, we've just talked about Andy Gray having two kids like Archie and then another one coming through the ranks at Leeds United. I mean, to have two kids that are potentially going to be professional footballers is incredible. I would love to have, you know, to have my son and daughter, twin boy and girl, are 16. I'd love them to have been in the football environment. My son, however, was into AFL in Australia and he plays locally with his teammates. My daughter, she had a little bit of a talent. She came back here and was with Newcastle United development squad. So what I will say, it would be lovely, but I've always said them. I was very lucky that I got the opportunity to play football after two rejections as a kid. We've talked about this before, Matt. Newcastle and Middlesbrough, I got let down and it made us a lot more resilient. And I think that's what helped me out later on when I did get the injuries, because I always wanted to prove people wrong, like what the coaches had said, you'll never make it. So I always followed my dream and I had that inspiration from my father, who said follow your dreams. So whatever my kids want to do, I'd love them to be footballers and I'd love them to have a go. The reality is whatever they want to be and whatever they're into, I'll push them as hard and support them as much as I can to follow their dreams and fulfill it, whatever it is in. So that's, I think that's the way you've got to look at it. Because when they were 4 and 5 and I'm pushing them into football, and I'm saying, go on, play with the football. And my daughter's kicking me around. My son's going, what do I do with this? And I'm thinking, dad, there's one gone through the net. But yeah, I think it's just about support and mentoring everybody.
And ultimately, I mean, you'll both know more than anyone that you can be one injury away from it being all over. I mean, did you have something else in mind at any point, Sam, throughout your when you were younger or when you were going through the injuries, were you like, right, what am I actually realistically going to do now if it was all over?
Yeah, when I was sort of in the academy, I was never one of the players who was destined to make the first team. you know, I nearly didn't get my scholarship.
That seems so weird for you to say that.
Yeah, you hear it with a lot of players. The first year of my 2-year pro contract as well, I didn't play at all and I was considering leaving. I got fairly lucky how it happened when Warnock was here. One of the fullbacks got injured for the first team. And I mean, he didn't know who I was. He just said, oh, he said to the goalkeeping coach, go and get me a fullback. So he came and, yeah, he came and got me and I came and trained and did really well. And from that moment, that was my first season, basically. Wow. So it was never guaranteed.
Yeah, but you're humble there because you said you were lucky. But what you will say, Sam, again, is that you were ready for the opportunity. When you got that opportunity,
oh, yeah.
You took
yeah.
it. That's what people forget. You say you're lucky. Oh, you're yeah. very humble there. When you get the opportunity, you've got to take it. And that's the thing that a lot of people and a lot of players miss out on. They're not prepared for the opportunity when it comes.
Yeah, it's a good point to be fair. But I mean, in terms of, so when I was at school, my work experience, I worked in a Michelin star kitchen with a chef, like prepping the food for him. And like, I really enjoyed that. So if I didn't go down the football route, then maybe would have been in a kitchen. I'm not
wow.
sure.
I did not expect that.
Oh, master chef, here we come. Yeah. Matt's a man of fine dining, you know, living in America and being
yeah, you know, I'm a real connoisseur.
He's a real connoisseur. And I've got to ask you, Sam, right? Going on that, I'll, what you're saying there about chef, and we'll come back to that because you know that I've...
A different kind of whites, that'd be interesting.
That would be, wouldn't it? You know, I've played for Leeds United, you know, I'm a has-been. This man, I've heard you're a big fan of Matt back in the day, and I do believe that you've got an autograph, yeah? Is that right?
Yeah, sign Neville Long. Bottom.
Come on, then talk us through it.
I don't actually know how I came about it, but I
don't even know how he's got it. I gave him to everyone in Leeds. I was like, you want one? You can have one. But
we used not communicating via Twitter with each other, and there was tickets exchanged, and then there was a signed autograph and stuff like that. I'm curious, man. Come on.
Do you know, it's so long ago, I can't even remember exactly how it worked out, but I do distinctly remember that. It was through my sister, actually, who was in York. And I don't know whether we had mutual friends or she knew you personally. I'm not entirely sure. But as I vaguely recall it, it was said that Sam wanted a picture, which is probably bullshit. but there's me as a Leeds fan, like completely ecstatic, like thrilled, like absolutely I'll sign this. And you're like, oh, he'll get you some tickets. So I think you got us tickets to a game. This is probably something that you've not even heard. Someone probably did it on your behalf. No. And just sorted the tickets and you've just wound up with this autograph.
Joe, I feel like we were both probably, so from you being a Leeds fan, you were probably surprised that I was messaging you. And then on my part, I was thinking, that's Neville Longbottom who's messaging me. And honestly, I was a big Harry Potter fan growing up.
This is quality. Oh, mate. But no, yeah, no, that is true.
I was going to say, I'll see if I can dig the photo out because I know I've got it somewhere and just moving house, it'll be in one of the boxes somewhere, so.
Well, I'm glad you've kept it.
Matt, did you hear what he said there? He'll get it out of a box that's got cobwebs on it. Right?
if he can find it.
But my daughter was more impressed, boy. Sam, that I was doing I was so happy that I was doing the Leeds United podcast, right? And Sadie was like, oh, right, what does that mean? I said, well, we'll get to talk to the players and have a chat about it. She went, and who are you doing that with? And I said, oh, Matt Lewis. She went, that's Neville Longbottom, isn't it? She was so impressed about Bloom and Harry Potter rather than Leeds United. So I've got to brainwash her and get her support in the Mighty Whites.
Well, I've changed a lot since back then, Sam, and you look exactly the bloody same. I've got a note on here, and I don't know if it was written by Bridgie or by my producer, but they want to know, What do you do to maintain this youthful look that you look the same 10 years later? What is it? What's the secret?
Do you know, so many people have said that
Benjamin
since I've
Button,
come back. They've said you've not aged at all. I don't know, to be fair. I mean, I haven't got a beard, which I think adds, obviously, makes you look older. But yeah, there's nothing in particular that I do. Just
no special skincare regime every
nothing.
Morning.
I'm going to read out the quote that is on here. Would you rather have a youthful body in a haggard face like Bridgie, or would you rather have a youthful face in a haggard body like Bridgie? So basically, I'm haggard both ways, all right?
Who said that? Is that you, Matt?
Oh, man. No, somebody's put it on there.
That's just, someone's put that on our notes, which actually I think it's a very good question. So we're going to put it to you. Which would you prefer? Youthful body with haggard face or youthful face with haggard body? Which would you prefer?
I feel like I've got the second one, so I'll stick with that.
Brilliant. Oh, absolutely Excellent. Epic. This is Excellent. The best one we've done, by the way. You are a legend, mate. Honestly, this is class.
These are the hot off the press questions that people get in the Leeds United official podcast. You cannot get the answers to these questions anywhere else. So there's an interesting fact about that's been doing the round since you saw that absolute bullet header the other week, that it's been approximately 3,000 days between your goal against Watford and then the last goal that you scored for Leeds. How can you sum up those 3,000 days? And did you ever think when you left the club all those years ago, you'd be coming back to score goals like that?
No, I mean, when I left, I'd always hoped that one day I'd come back, obviously in better circumstances.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny? I mean, the 3 years that I was at Leeds the first time, 3 and a bit years, I think I scored 9, maybe 10 goals. Since then, in all that time, I've scored one, and that was someone kicking the ball at me and it going in. So to come back and
they all count. Pritchie will tell you they all count.
So to come back and actually score another one at Leeds, I feel like it seems to be the only place where I can score goals. So hopefully I'll get a few more before the end.
Does it come with a degree of trepidation? I mean, you know, you talked about you wanted to come back on better terms, but, you know, the club was a very different situation back then. But is there a degree of trepidation around the fans? Like, are they gonna welcome me back? Is there a degree of nerves around that for your first home game?
Yeah, and when I first came out, I didn't know what the sort of reception would be like. I'd say sort of 80% was positive. It's funny, actually, when we played... We played Hearts away and I was warming up behind the goal and it was behind, like, in front of all the Leeds fans, and one of the fans just kept shouting, "Byram, you're on here because no one else wants you." And I was just thinking, oh, just pretend you can't hear him, pretend you can't hear him.
God, who needs opposition fans when you've got your own, eh?
But obviously, leaving the club, I didn't expect everyone to understand it. But since I've been here, I'd like to say that most people have been positive, and there's been, you know, a ton of fans in person and online that have said, you know, we're really glad that you're back and we're really happy you're here. So yeah, for me, that's enough.
Fans were a fickle bunch, and ultimately, if you play well, everyone comes on side, don't they? And you've done that, and then some, mate. You really have.
Yeah, I feel like you're only as good as your last game. So for me, it's you know, you just got to keep doing your best and keep performing, and hopefully that limits the amount of abuse you get.
I love it how you pretended that you couldn't hear the fans, but we both know that we hear every single word. And I love it when I hear players getting interviewed. Oh, no, I couldn't really hear the fans. Yeah, what a load of rubbish. We hear everything. And there's a few things that I've been called in my time that I can't repeat on this podcast. And you pretend it doesn't hurt, but some of them get to you, man. Absolutely get to you.
I don't suppose you had any grief from last night, did you, with the gold jacket?
Oh, you horrible man. You horrible man. Who's put you up to this? Wow. Yeah.
You know, he got a hole in one yesterday, Sam, right, on his golf course. So then he thought he was shooting McGavin wearing his gold jacket on TV.
That's exactly what it was, man.
It's a good luck charm now, I've heard.
I'll see. I'm not sure if you'll remember this, but there was a program back in the day called Heidi High. And it was basically a camping program where they'd wear these yellow gold jackets. And honestly, I was literally on LUTV for 30 seconds and all I got was about 20 messages on here going, "Heidi, hi, really? Heidi, ho." I've been absolutely abused, mate. And speaking of which, I'll ask you this question before we obviously let you go, because it's something that has stuck with me my whole career. You've mentioned my dress sense there, all right? In the programmes, you always used to do a thing. And at every club I was at, it was that thing, who is the worst dressed man at this football club? And I won it at every single club. Now, it's not something I'm proud of, but I've got a quite unique taste, all right? So who is the worst dressed man at Leeds United at this moment in time? Because I've seen some rascal gear when they come out the cars.
Actually, yeah, I was struggling there, but Jorginho Rutter has got some...
Thank you very much.
Is that the one who you've seen?
It was in my head, at least.
Man, I thought he had his pyjamas on. I thought he'd come his PJs. Yeah. He's just looking for his cup of Horlicks or something.
The style these days, it's crazy. I mean, some of them can pull it off, but just imagining me in some of that stuff, I mean... No chance.
No. Stick to what we know. You're going to become a dad, so you're going to have to dress a lot more mature as well, mate.
I would like to see it one day, though. I can just imagine you and Coops coming in some of that gear. I'd really enjoy it.
Imagine.
Well, we're going to let you go, mate, because this has been a great chat. We've kept you long enough. I know you've just finished training and whatnot.
Well, Sam, from me personally, mate, I've been blown away by your personality, mate. I've never met you before. Your mindset that you let us tap into there with your injuries. We've got a lot in common. And what you said earlier on about coming here and having a go when you didn't have a contract and you were willing to play games for this football club. Keep up the strong mentality, mate. Good luck with the rest of the season. Good luck becoming a father. And you're a class act, mate. So thank you for sharing everything with us here.
Appreciate it. Cheers, guys. It's been good fun.
Thank you, mate. We'll get you back on maybe back end of the season. That's been really, really, really great for us. And like Bridgie said, just keep doing what you're doing, mate, because it's great to have you back. And I don't know, just something about that full circle and seeing you playing the way you're playing. It's really satisfying for a lot of fans, and we appreciate it. So thanks for coming on, and keep going, mate.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
Sam Byram. That was great, wasn't it?
Certainly was. I'm just in awe of what he's had to say, what he shared there, and I didn't realise what he'd gone through. That takes a lot, mate, for players to play when they're out of contract, because especially with the injury-ridden past that he's had, Matt, that takes a lot of steel and shows the desire. So every Leeds fan that listens to this, every time that lad touches the ball, just give him the extra little applaudits that he needs, man, because, I'm still a little bit... lost for words, which is not like me, Matt, to be honest with you. So over to you. What did you feel?
Well, I mean, at 30 years old, which again, I know it sounds silly, I mean, but he's not wrong when he says, you know, you're getting into your sort of your twilight years when it comes down to football. But to still go and give 110% to try and get a contract at a club after an injury like that, I mean...
Without insurance, by the way.
Exactly. As you said, could easily have just gone and blown his knee out again while working hard on behalf of Leeds United. I just think that's an incredible mental resilience and commitment to the sport and the club. And I just think that beyond his playing, of which he's been brilliant, he's going to be such a massive asset to us this year.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the experience that he brings. I didn't realise how much experience and what he'd been through. And to see somebody so humble playing the game is so refreshing as well. So for me, that is one of the best pods I've been involved with, mate. Me and you have an interaction with him, the way he was so openly sporting and the way he was just having a good laugh as well. Really, really enjoyed that, mate. So, wow. I can't wait to get him back on at the end of the season when we're celebrating promotion.
Absolutely. Well, this will probably be going out after Bristol City. So there will probably be a nice little win there and we can march on towards... beyond the playoffs. We're in the playoffs, aren't we? We're in sixth, so march on beyond the playoffs towards those top two spots. So here's to another 3 points at Elland Road at the weekend. I hope you all enjoy the game, and I hope you all enjoyed our chat with Sam. I know I did.
Yes, well said, Matt, and I'm not going to leave you out of it. It's always a pleasure having a chat with you, a legend off the set and a legend on the podcast, mate. It's good to see you again, and I look forward to chatting, hopefully during the international break, because I don't know whether we can say this, because it may not happen, but I've got a few guests that we might be getting on away from the club during the international break, or ex-physios that are available, like the guy Dave Hancock. So if we need any fillers, let's get some other guests on and see where we go from there, mate. But thank you once again. I love your work, and everybody out there listening, keep supporting the Mighty Whites, marching on together.
And if you ever need any signed autographs, Bridgie, you just let me know. I can take care of that.
Do you know what it is? If you can, it would be lovely, because my daughter would really like one, but I haven't had the heart to ask you.
I think there's a 30-year-old lad in Leeds selling one just as soon as he locates it.
Once he finds it in his box of cobwebs.
I'm sure he can pass it on. All right. Thanks, everyone. See you next week.